Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Email Patricia now with your story or comment. Corktoday@c103.ie.
Cork Today on C103.
Now, last May, when the government announced that they were to provide up to 700 quick-build modular homes for Ukrainian refugees, many people asked the question why the government could not also consider looking at modular homes for Irish people, especially with the ongoing housing crisis facing this country. Well, Cork East Fianna Fáil Dáil Deputy James O'Connor has asked the government to look at modular homes, and he joins me to explain further. Good morning to you, James. You've asked the government to consider taking a look at modular homes. Now, we know the government planned to build more houses over the coming years, but the problem with that is they're all going to take time. But these quick-build modular homes, could they, do you think, be the answer in the short term?
I think they could be potentially the answer in also the long term, Patricia. And the reason that I've started to highlight this is that I was lucky enough to go on site to one of the modular home building sites that's been allocated for construction just on the border of Kildare and Dublin recently. And I have to say, I was incredibly impressed by the quality of the build. Many homes that were built during Celtic Tiger Ireland, as many will know, internal wooden fit-outs of those homes. You know, you often tap walls and quality can't be that great in many of them. But I was very, very impressed by the sheer sturdiness, quality and indeed the guarantees on some of these prefabricated home construction. I myself will admit I had a misconception around what roles these had to play, Patricia, for the reason that, you know, growing up in Ireland, we would have seen porta cabins, you know, in primary schools, secondary schools, and, you know, quality varied massively.
Yeah, the prefabs that were freezing in the winter and then roasting in the summer. And I think people thought they were going to be prefabs.
Exactly. But I suppose they underestimated how far technology has come to now the insulation and other aspects of these designs being so advanced that they can actually manufacture A-rated homes that have these 60-year guarantees, that are assembled in a factory and they're joined up on site. And it's incredible technology about how they're done in terms of the quality of the design as well, I have to stress. But what's quite exciting to me here is that the industry feel that with a concrete government plan put in place, that 14,000 potential homes could be built in addition to the Housing for All strategy. And I think this year, it's not publicly available information just yet, that the housing figures are potentially on target to hit 40,000 commencements. So we are in a good space in terms of increasing supply of new housing. But for somebody who's 26 years of age, that wants someday to have the privilege of owning my own home and knowing so many people that have either left the country because of housing or that want to buy here and just can't right now because of the cost of it, I think this has a massive, massive role to play in dealing with the housing crisis because, you know, if there's a 60-year guarantee on these builds, and indeed the contractors I spoke to that are building them believe that they can get them up to potentially closer to a century, you know, I would rule out the issues around sustainability that I believe the department were, you know, resisting these developments on.
And you say, speaking to industry, that they reckon 14,000. Are you saying 14,000 modular homes could be built in 12 months?
Correct. So over an annual period, they believe they can scale up. Now, just to be clear, this can be done potentially with as little as a 3-year scale-up plan to get to that stage where 14,000 additional units per annum are created. But there has been some issues around this, and people may be interested to learn that, you know, banks were quite hesitant around security on the valuations of these properties when it came to doing loans. That had to be worked on. But what we are seeing is that there has been developments earmarked in County Cork, of course, the well-known one is Mahon, and indeed others that have been worked on by the OPW and the Department of Housing. But they are being done in the area of migration. And what I'm saying is that these bills are of such a high quality, why don't we broaden it out to everybody? And the other thing they're able to do with them as well, and I did not realise this, is that they can actually work to increase the heights of these developments to 5 and 6, 7 stories. Now, there are various issues around improving fire regulation. And sadly, as we all know, in Ireland, we had massive, massive consequences after the Celtic Tiger around apartment quality build and development. But just given the rapid development of the technology, the onshore development of these homes, if we were to back it with a comprehensive government plan, I think this could be a major, major player around providing much needed additional accommodation, much needed additional homes for people. But there is a couple of key areas that do need the government, quite frankly, to grab the bull by the horns and to go out and tackle it properly.
Okay, you raised it in the Dáil this week, and I believe you got a response from the Taoiseach.
I did. So it was the first questions under promise legislation that the new Taoiseach, Simon Harris, was answering. And he did commit to looking at this as a potential area in terms of government analysing what it can do to increase housing stock. And, you know, I made the point to the new Taoiseach, you know, he's 37 years of age. He's the youngest Taoiseach the country has ever had. And I just made the point in the context of our own generations of where we are in life. I know so many people out there in their 30s, unfortunately those in their 40s as well, that want to be able to buy a home. They have family and children and they need the space. But when it comes to acquiring and getting new homes that qualify for the first time buyer's grant, for, you know, other available schemes like the first home scheme and other schemes that were brought in to help first time buyers, they need to be built, they need to be new build developments. So that's why I think that the potential for a properly comprehensively backed plan around the these manufactured homes, around the prefabricated homes, that they have a huge, huge role to play. And that misconception that I will admit I personally was guilty of for so long about them, you know, when you actually go in, walk them, knock on the walls, feel the surfaces of these homes, the quality of the builds is absolutely outstanding. And, you know, another point I made as well when I met the contractors around what, I suppose, improvements could be made in terms of, you know, potentially doing flood prevention and protection. You know, there are many areas of the country that, because of climate change, have the potential risk to become floodplains. And having that flood defence systems and homes as well is incredibly important, I think, going forward for new built homes. And I would say from my interactions there that this is probably one area that there may be a potential solution in that regard, where there is, you know, lands that have been built on where there may be a long-term risk where flooding due to heavy rainfall, what we saw with Storm Babet, that maybe this may have a role to play as well, because the devastation caused by Storm Babet to householders all over East Cork recently, you know, has me thinking, what's the future going to look like when there's houses developed in Water Rock and other areas, you know, near and in around Middleton and East Cork? You know, we need to think a lot more cleverly around how we prevent such devastation from occurring again. And maybe this is just one area of that as well. So that's why I decided to raise it, Patricia. And, you know,
just
I
get
know
the
so people,
and get the conversation going on it.
Precisely, because that's something that, you know, it's been shut down. And I think it's important to explain to people the department's attitude to this. Now, formally and informally are two very different things. But from speaking to the department, there is that resistance there around sustainability. And, you know, and looking at this saying, oh, should they only have a 60-year lifespan? Which are, everybody's home after a number of years needs maintenance. You know, no home is without its upkeep and the cost of that. And everybody will be aware of that, whether you're in a social house, whether you're in a private home and dwelling in terms of the ownership of it. And I don't agree with that argument, because when somebody presents you a solution for a problem that potentially gives you 60, 70 years of a response, you know, as a policymaker, I'd bite the hand off somebody that was offering me
I think James, you know, you talk to a young adult who's still living in his or her childhood bedroom with the parents because they can't afford either to rent or to buy. When you think of families that are living in hotels and bed and breakfast and emergency accommodation, they would take the hand in everything off you for a key to get them into a modular home. So there's a lot of people, and I think because more and more people are seeing these modular homes, either as you say, you got the opportunity to walk around one. I've seen videos of some of the modular homes that were handed over for Ukrainians, and they look absolutely stunning. But I suppose the big question is the cost of these modular homes. Did you look into that?
We have. And in terms of the development of three-bed homes, and when I say three-bed, I need to be very clear and honest with people. We're talking about a master bedroom. You're an upstairs. These are two-floor ones that I was visiting. So you have a master bedroom. You have an upstairs toilet, a downstairs toilet, and you have another large bedroom. And then you have one box room, which would be standard in many, many, you know,
three-bedroom semi.
And that style three bedroom semi development or terraced developments that I've got to see, you know, there is huge space there available, and precisely what you're saying around the costing of that for those homes coming in around the 1200 to 1600 square foot mark, they're in and around 350,000, depending then on what you do with it, Patricia. So if you were to put, you know, higher quality cladding on the front, when I mean cladding, no, I mean, you know, not just from an installation perspective, but the decorative features at the front, if you went for a more traditional brick design and all of that, that does add on the additional costing.
So it could be up to 400,000.
It could be. That is very true. But the point being here is that it is something that can deliver a colossal number of housing units per annum and help us hit that point of equilibrium between demand and supply, because there's no point in denying it. I never will do it. We are a long way off of hitting that supply point when it comes to the demand for housing. And I see it amongst my own generation most acutely, you know, growing up in my mid-20s now, you know, seeing the impact this has on so many younger people, whether they're trying to rent or to buy, and indeed those that are significantly older than me as well, you know, this is a crisis, and this is something that we need to think of from an ingenuitive point of view around working with industries that are already here in Ireland. And indeed, there are other aspects that may emerge in Cork or companies that are thinking of investing around prefabricated. But I have to just reiterate again, the quality of what's on offer when this is done right shows that it is most certainly a solution to the housing crisis if we incorporate it.
Okay, well, you've got the debate going, if nothing else, James. Listen, we leave it there. Thank you for that, and thanks for joining us on the programme.
And thank you. And just to extend my sympathies to Councillor Murphy's family, it's a very sad time for all in Cork County Council, for his constituents and community. And, you know, as a former member of Cork County Council, just want to pass on my condolences.
Okay, well said. Thanks for that, James, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Good morning to you. That is Cork East Fianna Fáil Dáil Deputy James O'Connor. Somebody says, as long last, somebody with common sense. Why is it that politicians are not able to grasp what the public wants? So many members of the public have been calling for modular homes for people. Someone else says, when did James actually go out and look at these modular homes? Because it sounds like he's been shooting down options to fix the housing issue without knowing what he was talking about for the last number of years. Yeah, he accepted that he had a very bad view of modular homes. It seems from what he says, it was only lately that he went to look at them and was blown away by the quality of the modular homes. And then what about the man Sean Meehan in Tipperary and the woman that you spoke about, Patricia, in Ballydehob? Are they not living in modular homes that they've been asked to take down? Well, they're not officially modular homes. They were mobile homes. In Sean Meehan's case, he put wooden cladding around them. And someone else says, Patricia, why are tiny houses never spoken about? I know they may not be for everyone, but it's time to think about using large containers used for hauliers. There are other options. We need to start thinking outside the box. Actually, I saw shipping containers being used as houses. There's a guy, he's an architect, and he actually works with shipping containers, and they, you know, special insulation and all of that, and they look absolutely stunning. So yeah, I think in order to solve the housing crisis, we have to look at every single option that is available.